if you just turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Some of you were at Millfield during the week when Tom shared about Azizi Life, and I think many of us were really impressed with the vision and the development and the growth that there had been in relation to that charity. And I say, really encourage you to be here next week just to pick up Tom's heart along with Rita of everything that's going on there. And I say, just want to read these few verses from Isaiah chapter 42. I think some of these chapters through the middle of Isaiah are incredible prophetic chapters, and you never sort of grow tired of reading them. And this is the prophetic voice of God coming through the prophet. He says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord God says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it." And just in the flavor of what we've been reading, I was just reading through Philippians earlier this week. And I think if you're a Bible scholar, you know there are two words that really stand out in the book of Philippians. It's joy and rejoice. And they occur some 15 times between them over the few chapters that are there. Speaks about the joy of prayer. Speaks about the joy when Christ is preached. Speaks about the joy of a living faith. Speaks about the joy when Christians come together in fellowship. Speaks about the joy when you receive news of a loved one. The joy of hospitality. The joy of the man or woman that's found in Christ. The joy of winning someone to Christ. And the joy of receiving a gift. And I thought just some of those things, sort of, if they were a big part in the fabric of our life, how much more vibrant we might be. But, you know, there is something warm and inviting about a joyful person. And a smile can be so powerful. Somehow, I don't know about when you get with somebody that's smiley, they're happy, they're joyful, it sort of energizes your spirit, doesn't it? And when we looked at the pictures of people smiling just now, if you're anything like me, you somehow get drawn into those personalities and characters. And it was interesting, as I looked at those, I looked at you, and I would say that probably most of us were smiling. That sometimes there's something impacting about a person that radiates life and joy. And I couldn't help but thinking, as I was just going to share for a few moments this morning, how at times we can make God smile. And especially when we desire him, perhaps more than anything else in our lives. Because as John Piper says so often in his writings, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And as we just read those few verses from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, the Father in those few words expresses his delight and joy, and it brings a smile to his face when he looks at his son. It begins, doesn't it, those verses. "Here is my servant, my son, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight." The Father delights in the Son's supremacy and his servanthood. The Father's very soul exults with joy over the servant-like meekness and the incredible compassion that Jesus had. And that's indicated perhaps in those next few verses, because it talks about the reed and the faintly burning wick. And when the reed or the plant which he's describing there is bent over and drooping and hanging, the servant comes along and he tenderly takes the plant. And he doesn't just stand it up, he holds it until it heals. And if you're that person or someone like that this morning who just feels that they're bent over, they're drooping, they're struggling, and that life is not flowing with them, not only is just Jesus just come and try and stand you up, but as he does, he holds you until that strength and that life and that vibrancy returns. And then it speaks about the wick that is smouldering. It's scarcely giving off any heat or any light. And the servant doesn't just come and pinch it off because it's no good anymore. But he puts his hand over it. And he fans it back into light. He doesn't blow it out. He gently blows on it just with the right degree of pressure that brings it back into flame again. And somehow this meekness and this majesty of Jesus mingle together in total perfect proportion. Only Jesus could get it all right. We'd either be too lopsided or we'd be too much this way. But Jesus somehow brings his majesty and his meekness into perfect proportion. And when you link that into John chapter 17 with many of the verses, and particularly verse 26, Jesus says this, "I have made you," that's the Father, "known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them." In other words, Jesus made God known so that God's pleasure in his Son might become our pleasure. God wants us to have the same pleasure as the Father has in his Son at this time and throughout our lives. If God's pleasure in his Son becomes our pleasure, then the object of our pleasure will always be Jesus. He will never become boring. He will never become disappointing, and he will never become frustrating. The Father says, "My Son is my pleasure." Perhaps in human terms, he's saying, "That's my boy. That's my boy." I don't think we fully appreciate the relationship that there was between the Father and the Son. No other relationship comes close to that Father-Son relationship in the heavens. It is utterly and totally unique. So when we see in the scriptures the Son and the Father interacting together, we should always take note. There is intimacy and communion between them that is totally incomparable. And I think it's impossible ever to overstate the greatness of the fatherly affection that God has for his only Son. I'm sure every time that he looks at his Son, he can't smile. He can't help but smile with unbounded affection. It's almost like, you know, like those children were. They couldn't control themselves. And I think the Father's like that when he looks at the Son. This smile is uncontrollable because he delights and takes pleasure in his Son, the Lord Jesus. God loved his Son before the foundation of the world. He loved him in his incarnate state. He must have smiled and enjoyed as he saw humanity and deity come together in the birth of Christ and whom we know as the man Christ Jesus. He delighted in the Son's readiness to come and to redeem this world. And of course, today we reap the benefits of that amazing relationship that there is between Father God and the Son. So while I would encourage you this morning, let the Father's pleasure be your pleasure as we go into this week. I just want to leave you with some words as a challenge this morning. And maybe this is the challenge of the week, and it's simply called, I dare. Will you dare this week? When a new day begins, dare to smile gratefully. When there is darkness, dare to be the first, a light to shine. Where there is injustice, dare to be the first to condemn it. Where there is some difficulty, dare to do it anyway. Where life seems to beat you down, dare to fight back. Where there seems to be no hope, dare to find some. When you're feeling tired, dare to keep going. When times are tough, dare to be tougher. When love hurts you, dare to love again. When someone is hurting, dare to help them heal. When another is lost, dare to help them find the way. When a friend falls, dare to be the first to extend a hand. When you cross paths with another, dare to make them smile. There's a lady who walks around near where we live, and you one sense that now things are probably not as good as they should be for her. She seems a very lonely, sad lady. And Deirdre came back the other day. She said, I made her smile. You know, and there's something powerful when we make eye contact with someone and we just embrace them with a smile or an affection without any form of touch or anything like that. It communicates something. When you feel great, dare to help someone feel great too. And when the day has ended, dare to feel that you have done your best. Dare to be the best that you can. At all times, dare to be. Mother Teresa says this, let us make one point that when we meet each other with a smile, even when it's difficult to smile. Make someone smile whenever you can. You never know how much a difference you could be making in their life at that moment. And some of you will know the story in America, and it may have been the San Francisco Bridge, I'm not quite sure, but it's a bridge that's notorious where sadly many people take their lives. And there was one such man who took his own life by jumping off the San Francisco Bridge. And police were investigating his death, and they went to his flat, and on the table for that day was written, I'm going to the San Francisco Bridge to end my life. But if someone on the way smiles at me, I would change my mind. That was in his note. And of course, you know the consequences of no one smiling. And so all I need to say to you this week, make sure you warmly smile at someone. Because every time you smile at someone, it is an action of love. It's a gift to that person, a very beautiful thing. Father, we pray that something of the pleasure that you have in your Son will be radiated in us. Something of the joy, Lord, that's in the heart of your Father's heart for your Son would be infectious in us. And Father, whether it's a smile, whether it's a deed, whether it's something that communicates love to someone else, Father, help us to be those this week. Father, where there's challenges for us, Father, help us to overcome them, Father, by just drawing upon your sufficiency at this time. Father, we pray for those that are on holiday at this time. We pray for your blessing. We pray for just refreshment. For those people that we pray for this morning, that they'll be doing different things, traveling, various other things, we want to commend them to you and just ask you, Father, at this moment in time, as we just, some of us just come together just to pray for some of the world's situations tonight. Father, we almost feel as though, Lord, we're taking a bucket out of an ocean. But Father, we believe that where there are many pockets of prayer throughout the world, exalting and lifting up your name, Father, that you are able in your supremacy, Father, to bring about change. So Father, put faith within our hearts for what seems to be impossible, we pray. Father, may this day be a blessed one as we break and go to our various homes and things that we're doing today. Father, would you be with us? I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.